Would you turn your Bible to John chapter 14, verse 7? John chapter 14, verse 7. You know what they say, everyone has nose and everyone has an opinion. I'm sure you heard that sound. But when it comes to God, especially when it comes to God, all of a sudden it's like a spectrum gets wider. It ranges from the true biblical definition of who God is to the wacko, wicked, cultic definition of God. And or the definition they say, you make God as you go. You make your own definition. Somehow that God would fit in your category. As I was preparing this study, I did a little research and to see what kinds of definitions other cults, the well-known cults would have. Jehovah's Witness says, one person God called Jehovah, no Trinity. Jesus is the first thing God, Jehovah created. Mormon says God the Father was once a man but progressed to Godhood. He has a physical body as his wife has one. No Trinity, worthy man may one day become gods themselves. Unification Church says God is both positive and negative. That's when you hear the background music. The universe is God's body, and there God does not know the future. He is suffering. He needs a Mun Sung Myung to make him happy. That is totally lousy God. Scientology, they do not define God or supreme being. Everyone is Satan, an immortal spirit with unlimited power of its own universe, but not all are aware of this. As Tom Cruise and the rest of the Hollywood gangs are joined into this thing, and John Travolta is one of them, I heard. Islam says Allah is God. Human attributes such as fatherhood cannot be associated with God. And New Age says everything and everyone is God. Typically coming from the pantheism. God is an impersonal force or the principle, not a person. People have unlimited inner power and need to discover it. If you've seen the Star Wars movie, one of the Darth Vader's line is force. Or line is force be with you. Do you know where they draw that line from? New Age. You think the movies don't have any religious concept in the back? You can bet your life on that thing. They have everything they want. It is no wonder the world is in utter chaos. Everyone runs around with his or her own idea of God, and they don't have a focused idea who truly God is when it comes to the Bible. 400 years before the Christ was born, the Greek philosopher Plato, I'm sure you heard his name, Plato said, to find out God and the maker of all this universe is a hard task. When we have found him, to speak of him to all men is impossible. Guess what, Plato? You are wrong again. We don't have to wait until we get to heaven to find out who Father is. We don't have to wait until we get to heaven to find out who Jesus is. He told us who he is, what he does for Father. And he gives us a spiritual resource and prepare us how we can live in this life, in this difficult life. This very book tells us how. And it tells us about Jesus Christ. It tells about God the Father. People don't read this book. People don't choose not to understand this book. And they come up with their own conclusion. They make their own gods. And they say, well, God doesn't work. This God thing doesn't work. Really. Did you try it as God prepared it? Verse 7 of chapter 14, please, and we will pray. Heavenly Father, there is many misconceptions regarding who you are and who your Son is. Father, this morning we are asking you to speak to our heart through your Holy Spirit, the author of this great book. Speak to us for us to understand and comprehend, and let us etch in our heart that we may never forget who you are and who we are in Christ Jesus. Father, we also pray for President Obama, for his salvation. Don't let him just say the words, right words, to get more votes, but let him say the things that bring honor and glory to you. We pray for our uniformed people, our soldiers, law enforcement personnel, and the firefighters, wherever they are, and they are the one who is protecting our lives and our property, and for our freedom. Some of them paying with their ultimate sacrifice. We pray for them and pray for their families. We are asking you to protect them as they protect us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 7. If you have known me, you would have known my Father also, Jesus speaking to the disciples. And now, from now on, that you know him and have seen him. From what the Lord Jesus said, we see that the only way we can get to know God the Father is through knowing Jesus Christ. Without knowing Jesus Christ, there's no way in the world we can know Father in heaven. The Greek word for know is ginoskos. And the word knows is appeared 141 times in Book of John alone. And it does not always carry the same meaning. I find the four different level of know is mentioned here in this book. First one is just simply knowing the fact. Simply knowing the fact. Any unbelievers can read this Bible and just get attained what it says. If the person stopped there, the knowledge he just attained become head knowledge and nothing more than that. The second level is a little deeper, understanding the truth behind the fact. Understanding the truth behind the fact. However, you can know the fact, you can know the trust behind it, but still be lost in your sin. When the rapture happened, we talked about this rapture. When Jesus called our name and called us with a trumpet call of God and a loud noise of angels, and he will come down to get us, all the born-again Christians. When that happened, there will be a lot of Christian pastors and self-appointed Christians will be left behind. If that happened right now, right this building, I mean, all over the world as well, I don't know how many of you will stay behind. I'm going with the first load. There's nothing would hold me back in this world. When that happened, I'm going, and if you are not a born-again Christian, you will be left behind. Like your mom and dad used to say, that's not a threat, that's a fact. How do I say that? I don't say that because just to be an ugly person, because the Bible says so. And if some people say, well, that's not how I interpret the Bible. Guess what? I really don't care how you interpret the Bible. There is a great man of God, Jabin McGee, he all great man died, but he still have the radio program, still speaking, I guess. He said, God says it, I believe it, that settles it. I disagree with the respect. God says it, whether I believe or not, that settles it. Because if God speaks nothing but the truth, Jesus said, unless you are born again, you will not enter into the kingdom of God. Guess what that means? As it is. Unless you are born again, you don't go to heaven. To some of you, there might be a rude awakening. I've been a Christian all my life because I was born in America. Guess what? It's not so. According to my Bible, America has not cornered the market in heaven. Calvary Chapel has not cornered the market in heaven. Only through Jesus Christ. As what we just recited in John chapter 14, 6 says, Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. No man come unto the Father through Him. If they have not taken, people have not taken the most important step of Christianity, accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they will not understand truth. And they cannot have that truth in their heart. Third level of knowing is getting into the personal relationship. To know means to believe in a person and become related to him or her. Like no other religion in the world, our God Jesus becomes our Savior and Lord if we accept him, if we get to know him. And God the Father becomes our Father in heaven. This is the way the know is used in John chapter 17, verse 3. So keep your finger on chapter 14, go to 17, 3, please. And this is the eternal life that they may, what? Know you and the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. How do they know? By having a relationship, become part of that person group. In fact, in scripture as well as a Jewish idiom, to know is more very intimate relationship. Like a husband and wife, they know each other physically and emotionally. Again, go to Genesis chapter 4, please. Verse 1, Genesis 4, 1. I'm not saying we are having physical relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, verse 1. Now the Adam knew his wife, Eve his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain. That's the know. It's the intimacy. Fourth level of know means the two have a deeper relationship with a person and deeper communion. This is the level Apostle Paul is talking about in Philippians chapter 3. Go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, please. Philippians 3, 8. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from the God by faith. That I may, there is the word, know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. Verse 11. If by any means I may attain to resurrection from the dead. Without knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we cannot have that power of resurrection and eternal life. You follow me? Okay. Jesus will describe deeper meaning in the next week, next portion of the scripture, so we will wait until next week. Move down to the verse 8, please. John chapter 14, verse 8. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say that show us Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The word that I speak to you, and I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me and does the work. Verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father and Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Have you ever thought about the spiritual roadblocks that we often make for ourselves that are keeping us from knowing God? The devil is always ready to supply all the endless, selfish, lame excuse that prevent us from knowing the one true God. Why? Because once we get to know who our God is, and we get to know what a wicked sinner we are, and we desperately need Him, when we start to have that kind of relationship, guess what happened? Devil loses its place. He does not like that. He's not going to have that. Now, Satan supplies those excuses. No one can actually make a roadblock in our heart except ourselves. He supplies all the material. Guess who does the work? We build our own roadblock between us and God. I find a couple of roadblocks that people make keeping themselves from God and from the knowing God. Number one, our preconception about what God should be. Our own preconception about what God should be. You know, your IQ might be in the genius level and leaving the rest of us in the dust. But your IQ still remains the three-figure numbers, while our God is infinitely wise. And somehow we people, and not just us, unbelievers as well, somehow we just think that what God should be, what God is like. It is a futile try to comprehend incomprehensible God. We cannot comprehend Him at all. Many unbelievers' preconception about God is something like this. I always picture God like this. Have you ever heard that? I'm sure you heard that. Or the God should be this way. Their idea about God and the biblical truths are the million miles apart. Actually, they are not even the same universe. Second roadblock people make is that people demand inappropriate confirmation from God. People demand inappropriate confirmation from God. What do I mean? It's a simpler word. They want proof. Show me the proof. Like Philip in verse 8, people want the proof of God's faithfulness, capability, even existence. Have you ever heard of somebody saying, if God is true, let Him show Himself to me? And I was thinking, you don't want that because you will be dead right on the spot. Somehow people think that they are the ones who give God permission to do things, even exist. Without their approval, they can do anything. Really? Not. That's not how it works. Longing to see God with our physical eyes is often an excuse for unbelief. You with me on that? And the starting point of idolatry. Since a human has a limited mind and limited IQ, we cannot express beyond what we see and what we hear, what we can think. We cannot think anything what we see beyond what we see, but what we hear, what we can think. Am I making sense to you? So what do we do? How do we make our own God? It's within the limitation of the God's creation. It is no wonder every single idols are in the shape of a creature, of a creation, a God's creation. It's not beyond that. In other words, the idolater bring down God to the human level or less. I'm sure that you heard about the stories regarding the face of Jesus or the face of the Virgin Mary and the burnt tortilla, right? The latest shenanigan is Jesus' face on Walmart receipt. They said it just appeared. Okay. So what? I'm sure you've seen my drawing. It's over there. And you say, were you not making an idol of Jesus with a baby who is holding a baby? No. Number one, I wasn't making an idol for you to fall down and worship. If you do that, you're an idiot. I don't expect you to fall down and worship in front of that drawing. I was just drawing a generic Jewish male in that first century time. Generic, very generic. And you may say, where do you get that idea of generic male? Go to, since you are asking, Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, verse 2, please. For he shall grow up that he is Jesus, child Jesus, I guess, grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of the dry ground. He has no form of comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. In other words, he was not the most gorgeous thing that all the girls would drool over. You know, if that was the case, then Judas didn't have to go to him and kiss him at the Garden of Gethsemane. And all he had to do was just look for the best-looking guy in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's the guy. Knock him down. No, he was just blended into the one of the Jewish male. And third reason why I drew that is I drew to portray the love of Jesus Christ and care for us. It has nothing to do with the idol worship. Verse 9 through 11 in John chapter 14. When Jesus said that knowing him and seeing him was the same as knowing and seeing the Father. By claiming that, he's claiming to be what? God. It's simple as that. From now on, disciples get to understand more and more about the Father, even though Jesus was leaving them. Some of you might wonder, okay, I grant that these disciples had the privilege of spending 3 years of their time side by side physically with Jesus Christ. But we don't have a luxury like that. So how can you see, hear, and know God when we are not like disciples? As I said before, he's the manual. Through his word, the way Jesus made known the character and the reality of Father was by his word and works. The truth of God filled Jesus' words, and the power of God produced his works. Am I making sense to you? I believe that one of the strongest signs of the real child of God is the person's never-ending desire to know more about God through the Bible. If you are a Christian and you only crack open the Bible when you come to church, and you have no desire to learn about God, you have to ask yourself, am I really saved? Or was I just going through a motion? If you're a true born-again Christian, you want to know more about Jesus Christ. You want to follow him. You want to do everything you can to be like him. Verse 12, please. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, I will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. This is the promise for us to claim. And the claiming of it demands faith, folks. It demands faith. The fact that Jesus did return to the Father is an encouragement. Why do I say that? It is because he is interceding for us from the right hand of the Father. Jesus will have more to say about this later. The greater works would apply initially to the apostles who were given the power to perform the special miracles as a credential for their apostleship. These miracles were not in greater quality because a servant cannot be better than their master, as the Bible says. But the rather in the scope and the quantity. What am I talking about? For example, according to Acts chapter 2, when Peter, remember Peter, the guy who would deny Jesus in the next few Sundays, he's the one who would give a sermon. That day, 3,000 people got saved. That's, according to Bible, what is recorded, that's more people than Jesus did the entire 3 years. Besides, it is a greater miracle because Jesus is God, but these are nothing more than mere human beings, just like you and me. Of course, it is not the believer himself who does the greater things. It is God working it and through the believer. So get this, faith and works must always go together because it is the faith in him that releases the power of God in his life. Move down to verse 13, please. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Listen carefully, please. This is very important. This is not a magic formula. God the Father cannot resist and he just have to comply. We get to have anything we want, and if as long as we attach in the name of Jesus, or some people will say, in Jesus' name. It has to be like that, I guess, to some people. To ask anything of the Father in the name of Jesus means we ask what Jesus would ask, and what would please him, and what would bring him glory by furthering his work. It is a tremendous privilege to use Jesus' name. At the same time, it demands a lot of responsibility from us. Some Bible teachers in charismatic denominations use these two verses as basis for their idea. They said, claim what your heart desires with the name of Jesus. And what they're pretty much saying afterward is, the Father in heaven are obligated to do for you, as the Bible says. Well, if you take them out of context, yes, they are absolutely correct. But what would Jesus ask to the Father in heaven? Covet? Cruise around the world? All the money in the Wall Street comes to your bank account? Is that what people would ask? If that is the truth, if they have a faith in God and just say it in the name of Jesus, everything would work well, then why do they have a telethon? Okay? These Christian TV stations have a telethon, or that they beg at the end of a 30-minute, one-hour program, they beg for money. They even said, send your Social Security check. If they have that much faith, well, they just claim the faith and let the money flow through in your bank account. and spot me some untappable. God is not giving them a carte blanche. Rather, in my name is a controlling element. You with me on that? It's not carte blanche. To know God's name means to know His nature, what He is and what He wants to do. Since God answered our prayers in order to bring honor and glory to His name, our prayer must be in His will. And our prayer must be aligned according to His will. And you may ask, where do you find? Go to John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5. Some of you are thinking about a picnic already. I'm going to close it soon, so hold your horse. Verse 14, now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to your will, right? No, according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have a petition that we have asked of Him. The key point is according to His will, not our will. We can know the Father and the Maker of the universe because Jesus Christ revealed Him to us. Why should our heart be troubled when the Creator and the owner of the universe is our own Father? Memorize the next two verses that I'm going to ask you to take a look. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Some of you guys already know what I'm talking about. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. This verse, you memorize this, it will come to your rescue. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Any of you guys are warriors who just professionally worry? And when you have nothing to worry, that worries you? And any of you are sick and you think you're about to have this surgery or you are about to have a brain surgery or whatever? Taking somebody's brain, that kind of thing. If you are facing difficulties, go back here. It says, be anxious for anything. Do not be anxious for anything. But in everything, prayer and supplication with the thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Then what will God do? Removed all difficulties? No, that's not what he says. It says, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. In other words, he will be with you through the valley of the shadow of death. How can you go wrong when the Jesus is with you? Three applications. Number one, knowing Jesus personally, intimately, is the key to our Christian journey. Second application, knowing Jesus should be without our own preconception about Him. Let Him fill your heart today. In other words, come with a blank paper. Don't write anything in there. Let Him write. Third application, knowing Jesus, help us pray properly for His glory, not for your own benefit. And you may say, what about me then? He will take care of you. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up and pray. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, bow your head quick. I will make a very quick. At the beginning part of this teaching, I told you, please close your eyes, bow your head. I said that Bible clearly known to, make it known to us Unless you are born again, you will not enter into the kingdom of God. That's not my interpretation. It's a black and white, clearly written. And you may say, well, how can you trust Bible? It proved itself for the last 4,000 years. Challenge me and challenge this Bible and prove itself is wrong. If you can, I'll follow you. You cannot. God is true. His word is true. So, if that's the case, you are in serious problem. If you are not a born-again Christian, if the death come to you today, knocking at the door and saying your name, and it says it's time for you to come to face the death, would you be ready? If you are not, you need to be ready. If you'd like to receive Jesus into your heart so that you may have that eternal life, eternal security in heaven, and then you will have eternal hope. And don't think that it will not happen to me for a long time. I see many young people dying left and right. If you'd like to receive Jesus into your heart, you can make a commitment, and as an expression of that commitment, raise your hand. Do it now, please. God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Don't let your pride stop you. Okay, including that gentleman, please, all of you, repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I know I'm a sinner. I realize that my sin has separated me from you. But I turn away from my sins. I believe that Jesus died for my sins and rose from the dead. So I ask you to be my Savior and Lord. Please come into my heart. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to the family of God.